Well, good morning. If you're expecting Rob, I'm sorry, here I am. Not Rob. Yeah. I just have your prayers with him as he is with his father today. And so we were talking last week and on Friday afternoon, and I was like, Rob, just give me your notes and you go be with your dad. So the good thing is that this is kind of the other end of the story from last week. If you were with us last week, I was up here and I was speaking on Deborah. And the other character in that story is Barak. And that's who we have for today. So as you filter in, I just want to pray real quick. And then let's jump into this today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that you have given us here to study and to think about your word. And Judges, God, you've given us so many stories, and you know what, we really can relate to a lot of these characters. We often face life, and we often face life and it can be dark, and it can be kind of hard to discern your role and where you are in our lives, God. And so as we look at these characters who've kind of coming in and out of this cycle of just serving you and then falling and then serving you, and in these times where they want to hear the word of the Lord and they want to hear the voice of God, I pray, Lord, that their stories would teach us something about how we can go about our lives in our own dark times and their own times here, God, where we find ourselves wondering, where are you? And so I ask, Lord, that you would really make these words, these stories come to life in our hearts today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So if you were with us last week, then you know that we talked about Deborah. And Deborah, there was some really interesting things that we learned about her. And from her side of the story, she was the one connected to God in relationship. And she was the one who really heard from the Lord and spoke the word of the Lord. And Barak is the other side of the story. And there's something that I think we can all connect to with Barak. I certainly do connect with him. When I think about my life and how much I go about life feeling a lot like he may have felt. And I think you'll be able to find a connection maybe too as well. A lot of what we're going to talk about today is just following God in a chaotic world. And how do we know if we're really discerning the words of the Lord in our heart or in our mind? You know, we make decisions every day. We make decisions about simple ones, what flavor of toothpaste to use. Maybe you have two choices. I don't know. Or come into church. You know, you decide to get in the car and go. Those are things that happen all the time. But then we come into life where we're faced with much larger decisions that are impacting. What career am I going to choose, or who am I going to get married to, or how am I going to go about finding a job, and maybe it takes me to a new town, or all these kind of bigger decisions. And those decisions, I think, sometimes if we feel like we're living in a world of chaos, how do we know what God is saying? And I want you to think about that as we go through this story. So the story picks up here in Judges. I'm going to jump in and read for you Judges chapter 4. Maybe this isn't going to work today, Nate. Why don't you go ahead and do that? Judges chapter 4. Some of these verses are going to be, again, like last week, you saw the same ones if you were here. And so we're just going to look at it again from Barak's point of view. Let's read this first one to go back to the story. If you weren't here last week, there was a time of peace. And then there's a time of the Israelites turning again to the evil practices of serving the gods around them and not serving the Lord. And so it's in this chaotic time that Deborah comes up as a judge. And Deborah also calls out to someone named Barak and says to him, it's time for you to step up here. And the stepping up goes, the calling of Barak goes like this. She sent for Barak, she meaning Deborah, son of Abinoam from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands." Now, this is the calling of Barak. And an interesting thing here that I'd like to just point out, if you've been following us in this series all summer and you heard Othniel and Ehud, and you know there's Shamgar, there's a few other names that we've already talked about, none of them had somebody else tell them what to do or someone else give them the call. You know, it doesn't say in Ehud's time, it doesn't say that he was called by like a prophet or an angel or the voice of the audibly voice of the Lord, but it just says he was the Lord provided a deliverer and he rose up and he did this. And in this one, Barak is most likely a recognized military leader, I would say. Maybe he's already tried a few things, I don't know. Maybe he's shown himself to leading troops and kind of having a role in this time period. And yet Deborah calls to him, sent for him. And if you remember, Deborah is sitting under the palm of Deborah, and a lot of people are going to her, and she judges Israel, takes care of their disputes. I would think Barak probably went too during that dark time, probably had some sort of relationship with her. And you know, in another version, like the English Standard or the King James Version, I like the way they put this. Instead of it saying, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you," it's putting it into a question. And it goes something like this, "Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you?" In other words, are not my words confirming what the Spirit has already laid on your heart? You know, so here you have, when you're kind of seeing the character of Barak, he probably had a sense of God is asking me to do something. And I don't know. He didn't do it. Maybe there was an asking in his own heart, and when he was called by Deborah, I have a feeling he went there thinking, "I know what she's going to say to me. I know what he's, I don't know if I should, I got to go. She called for me." And sure enough, she's like, "Hasn't God commanded you?" In other words, didn't you hear it? Haven't you felt the inclination in your heart already? Haven't you already felt that kind of pushing by the Spirit that you're going to lead, and you're going to lead the people against this commander, this man Sisera? Last week we learned that Sisera had 900 chariots. And chariots are a formidable force in battle at this time period. And I like to think, I don't know, it doesn't say this, but the chariot axle rods had probably swords spinning on them, right? That would be a way to do damage in military, to have your chariots be very scary to confront. Led by a large animal, the horse, going fast, much faster than a man could run or walk, obviously. So anyways, he might feel a little bit of fear. And Barak is then here called out. But I like what Deborah says, and Deborah speaks the voice of the Lord, and she says very clearly, things to look for. 10,000 men. That's a pretty distinct number. They're not there yet, but they're called out 10,000 exactly. And also, go to Mount Tabor, very specific place. Go to this place. And when you're there, who's going to lure Sisera? Not Barak, but here's the voice of God. I will lure Sisera. In other words, you know, when the Israelites congregate and come together as an army, if they've watched their history or if they've learned their history, they win with Ehud and with Othniel and all these other places. And so Sisera might be unwise to go after him in this point. You know, maybe kind of see if it dies down. But no, God is going to pull Sisera in. And so there's these very distinct things that he's going to look for. He's going to look for the army. He's going to be at Mount Tabor, and he's going to watch them gather by the river Kishon, the Kishon River, and then give them into your hands. That's pretty specific. I would like to hear that when I make my next decision. Like, yes, you're going to get the red house that has the large yard and the garden in the back with a shed, and there's a lawnmower in the shed. That's the house you're going to buy. I haven't heard that, but I am wondering if that's the house. Now, Barak's response, and this is where I feel like we can connect with Barak, because, you know, the other, like I said, some of the other judges have already just gone out, didn't need an extra voice. It could be the darkness of the time around them. It could be that he is so scared, so frightened. It could be that there's so much chaos, they've gone so far from God. Remember, in the cycle of judges, we've watched him kind of spin further and further away from God. Each time they come back a little bit further away, and it creates a deeper sense of the chaotic environment that they're living in. And it could be here that he doesn't know what to do. So in the next verse, chapter 4, verse 8, Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." That's a pretty firm statement. And what is he asking for, right? What is he saying? He's exposing his uncertainty. He's like, I don't know. I don't know if I should do this. This is kind of frightening. Those are big chariots. They're scary. There's 900 of them, along with all of his other troops, which probably number in the tens, 20, 30, 1,000. I don't know the number. They don't tell us, but there's probably a lot. If you have 900 chariots, that imagine how many just foot soldiers you have, right? And he's unwilling to just go all on his own. There's a consequence to his unwillingness, and that's part of the story as well here. But look at what he asks for. He says, he's saying to Deborah, you have the connection to God. You have this relationship with God that I don't feel like I have. And so I need you to come with me in this time, in this process. It's like, who knows, maybe in his past he's tried things to go against this, or maybe he's failed. Maybe he just doesn't know for sure if the words that he's hearing are really going to fall into place. He is willing to go. Let's recognize that much with Barak in this point. He's not sure about the outcome, and so he asks her, come with me. He asks her to come with me. In other words, I have some unbelief. You know, help me in my unbelief. Have you been there? I've been there very many times, and I need counselor. I need advice. I don't know. I can't go all the way on my own in this moment. Deborah is a woman of God. Deborah is a woman who does have a connection to the voice of God. And so he wants her there, and he's going to take her with her. And so in the next few verses, we see in Judges that Deborah says, yes, I'll go with you. And, you know, I'll go with you, but you're not going to have the honor of actually watching Sisera be captured and killed. Something that he probably, maybe with the oppression, maybe he had watched Sisera do awful things, and he wanted to see the final, you know, judgment there on Sisera's crimes against the Israelites. So he doesn't get that. And that's just a small consequence for him. And also in the next few verses here, I'm not going to go into it in detail, but God kind of sets up how Sisera will meet his end. And that's a little bit of a different story. I'm going to stay focused on Barak today. So they go to the Mount Tabor, and he makes a call. He's like, all right, come on, come with me. Who's going to go? We're going to attack Sisera. And he gets 10,000 men. It doesn't say that he counted them and made sure there weren't more or less. He got 10,000. 10,000 went with him. So there's one confirmation. And then he goes to Mount Tabor, and he's up there watching and wondering, okay, I'm on Mount Tabor, and now the next thing God said to do, or what happened, is that all of the Sisera and his army would come down and be by the Kishon River. And he's waiting for that to happen. Now let's jump to verse 14 and 15. It says, then Deborah said to Barak, go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? So Barak went down Mount Tabor, followed by 10,000 men. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword, and Sisera abandoned his chariot and fled on foot. Now this is where Deborah is still with Barak on Mount Tabor. Why don't you show that picture? We have a picture of Mount Tabor. I just thought I'd give you a little example. This is Mount Tabor, and there's the valley. I'm sorry, I can't point out the river. I couldn't figure out where the river was in relationship to the valley and the Mount Tabor. But just picture it in your mind for a minute. So he's going to be up there, and he watches him in place, and Deborah is still with him. He's still tied right in close with Deborah. He still has Deborah's advice, Deborah's connection to God. And again, Deborah speaks to him very firmly, go. Other versions will say, up, arise. And then a question. I love the question that it says, has not the Lord gone ahead of you? Well, what is he looking at? At this point, he's only seeing these things fall into place. These 10,000 troops, they're all right here, the chariots and the river. Everything looks like God said it would look. And she says, hasn't God gone ahead of you? You should go. And this is where Barak takes a step that he was unwilling to take in that first moment that Deborah called him. Under the palm tree, when Deborah said, hasn't he commanded you? Isn't this your time? He said, no, I will go with me. At this point, Barak goes. And he goes from the hill, from the mount. He's got footmen, most likely. I don't know what kind of strength they have as far as weapons, but we know that there weren't weapons found among 40,000. It says in Judges chapter 5, in the Song of Deborah, there's like one sword and 40,000 people. They weren't allowed probably to have weapons. So a bunch of farmers with their pitchforks, maybe. I don't know what he has, because there's no indication here that they made a huge arsenal of weaponry, but they've got these chariots that are very intimidating, and they've got footmen with their ox goads and sheep goads and pitchforks that are going to race down the hill into this valley where the chariots are most powerful, right? In the valley. You can just see them just racing in. And if you can imagine horses and chariots in a grand clash in the middle of the field against footmen, it's not going to go well. So Barak does go. He has a built faith as he's watching God provide, as he's watching God's hand lead out in here. And in Barak's advance, that's what I like. Okay, the 10,000 men follow him, and it says, at Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera. That's a really important part to think about. It doesn't say that the Lord routed Sisera, and then Barak went down the mountain, right? It's good to note that Barak has made steps. He's gone from being afraid to go alone to being, I don't know the next thing that's going to happen. But I've seen God work, and now I'm going to go. Now I'm going to go racing down this mountain into a place where it's most likely not going to be very helpful for me to be in the floor of the valley. It would have been better if we were up here. Maybe they had some way that, you know, the chariots can't come up the mountain so easily. But Deborah says, go. Hasn't God delivered them? And so he does. He does. He follows God's direction here. And the word routed, it says the Lord routed Sisera. There's a word there. I think it's hamam, H-A-M-A-M, the Greek word. And it is a word that's used in other places where God throws them into confusion and throws them into a kind of disarray. And so there was the hand of God. In Judges chapter 5 and verse 20, it says in the Song of Deborah, it says that the stars fought for the Lord. And it says the river swelled and swept away the chariots. And now the indication here is that a massive rainstorm could have happened. And rendering the chariots useless in a swelling, flooding river of the plain where the chariots are going to be so powerful. And as he advances this, I don't know how this all plays out, the timing of it. It doesn't give us a clear indication of the exact timing. Like, you know, maybe as he advanced, the thunder struck and the rain poured down and the river swelled all at one time. But it would be indicating to me that he didn't see them stuck until he started advancing. And God's hand did come into play. And wow, what an amazing feat the Lord took here. He completely made the chariots useless, and he responded to Barak's advance. These men abandoned their chariots and they fled on foot. Now it's an equal battle. Now they've probably, sometimes you just drop things and run. Maybe as they went down there, they picked up weapons that they didn't have. God's providing for this army in ways that they had no idea. The God Baal is a god of storms and thunder for these Canaanites. There's a fear factor for them. Our God is being beaten because this is going against us. And that's all things that God used to throw them into confusion. Now, the good thing to recognize here for Barak is that the hand of God is very clear. I don't think he thought to himself, "Whew, convenient, there's a storm here, a thunderstorm coming, and all the chariots are useless. Whew, that works out. All right, let's go, guys." I think he's looking and he's like, "Wow, God, you totally did this. I don't think the river could flood that fast without God making it just flood, making the chariots useless." The hand of God is really clear here. The hand of God is very clear. And one more verse from this story, Judges 4:16. It says, "But Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim. All the troops of Sisera fell by the sword, and not a man was left." Barak goes all the way through with it now. There's no mention of Deborah. He is aware of God's hand in this process, and he is aware of how God has given him these little steps of look at my hand in this process, and he's growing. He's growing in understanding. He's growing in a feeling of his, you know, it's faith, really, what it is, and it's that character that's just building in him. In this chaotic environment, this character is just building in him, and he's going and watching God work and changing, not staying as the same guy who said, "I don't know if I should go." He's advancing on his own. He's pursuing the troops. He's doing what God asked him to do all the way. The Kishon River is flooded. The chariots are stuck. The Israel's footmen, they chase him down. Barak sees the hand of God and he has no doubts. He's watched it. He's attributed to what sometimes we might call a convenient thing. Maybe it's the hand of God. You know, think about times that you've felt God work in your life or you've watched things play out and work well for you. Have you looked and seen how God has done that? Deborah has stepped back, and Barak has completely gone out here now. And the neat thing about this story is not the failure of Barak to say yes right away. I think it's good to connect with him in this way because we all have these steps where we don't feel confident, we don't know for sure. It's the point here, I think, is that the character grows in the midst of this chaos. He has, and not just character, like when I say character, what I mean by the character growing in the midst of the chaos is that his faith, character is those qualities of godliness that God asks us to put on to walk through this world. His faith is growing in the midst of this chaotic environment. And he has, from a place of, "I don't know what I should do," to, "God is with me and here I go." And they end up routing it. And the story continues. It wasn't like all of a sudden they had complete peace, but there was a building of strength following Barak. If you've read through Judges, you see the end there. And then there was about, I think it was 40 years of peace after Barak does this. I want to end with you guys and talk about this now, this whole idea of character growing. From the story, we can pull out, I think, three things that will really be useful to our own situations when we're dealing with the chaotic world around us. And each of us have maybe a different type, a different kind of what's chaotic in your world, what's going on that you're dealing with or you're trying to kind of muddle through. And are you hearing the voice of God? And do you know if it's the right step to take? I've had many examples of this in my life. You know, just backtracking. But I thought, each of those have built my faith. A lot of things have built my faith. But right now, literally, I am in a house hunting situation. I do want to think about, you know, our house is small and there's four children. And so, God, are you saying maybe stay here or go somewhere else? You know, there's that inkling in our hearts. Or maybe it's the shouting in the next room that I wish was another room away. I don't know. It could be, but I really think, you know, you start to get the sense that God is asking you maybe to do something. Maybe there's something he's giving you a certain kind of push towards. Could be a job change, a career change, a ministry role. Could be any number of things. And it can be simple. It can be because God wants you in those simple decisions, like what major do I choose in college? Or it could be much larger. You want me to go to Africa next summer, God? I mean, something really big. And God will give you a little spiritual kind of push towards that. And you'll feel it in your heart, much like I think Barak felt it. And he went and he found some good advice. So this really is a story of faith building. And the first thing that I think we can do to build our faith and grow in character in the midst of chaos is to follow God even in uncertainty, when we're not sure, when we don't know for sure what we're going to do next. Following God in uncertainty. When I think about going into a different house, you know, just cross town, that's not a big deal. I'm still in town. But just it's an uncertain thing. It's like, that's a big decision. And God, what are you leading in here? I don't feel, this is yes, let's go right now. But I do feel a small push, a small kind of, there might be a God might be asking you to just take this little step. And so I want to walk and take this kind of step with faith building and following God. You know, I could, there are, you know, there's real practical things. You got to be prepared financially, and you got to be careful and make good choices. And yet we can't just go charging through life without thinking, what is God asking me to do here? And when I'm uncertain, I still follow God. And what do? I give my devotions to him daily, and I ask God to speak to me in the word. I think about God through my day, and I pray, I ask the Lord to be with me. I mean, I'm just in these decisions, these big ones and these little ones, I don't want to just leave him behind. I want to follow God when I'm uncertain. It can be a time when you might want to just give up and like, oh, I don't know. Okay, I'm just going to stop thinking about that. Or just, I'm going to just charge ahead not knowing for sure. There's a way to follow God. And when you're uncertain, what Barak did, he was feeling unsure and unaware, how do I do this? I feel God pulling me into following him and into charging against these mighty chariots. But I don't know for sure. What does he do? He ties himself to God's people. And that's what you and I can do. And the person he says to Deborah, I need you to come with me. I don't feel confident all the way. And you know what? I think that's okay. God used him mightily to bring the nation of Israel back into a place of peace, of following God, of repentance. Even though he had this maybe a faltering step, I think we can all have a faltering faith feeling where, oh, is this the right choice to make? I've sat down with mentors and fellow pastors and just say, you know what, we're thinking about getting a house, a different house in town. What do you think? Is, you know, just getting their perspective. They've got a perspective to offer to me. Just like Barak said, come with me and speak to me again about what I should do next. Counsel and advice. Tie yourself to other believers. And one thing that would be really good, just on a side note here, is to be ready to be tied to. Does that make sense? Some of us will look for you and want to tie ourselves to you and ask you advice. And so we all, some of us are going to play the Deborah role, and sometimes we're playing the Barak role and might flip-flop on different things because we're going to tie ourselves together. Alone, I would not know what to do. I would make mistakes or go here, go there, and always wonder. But counsel and advice and preparing to make big steps and having someone there with me is a really helpful thing to do. In other words, will you walk
through this scary time with me, is what Barak was saying to Deborah. And we can say that to each other. We can, and we should. One thing that is really important here, that Barak, the reason the growth happened with Barak, the reason the character was strengthened, the faith was strengthened, the confidence and the courage was all strengthened, was because he saw the things happening around him, and he realized, this is God's hand. The final point here, see God's hand along the way. Sometimes we just would attribute, oh wow, that was convenient. That worked out well. But what if you said, God, I'm totally going to give that credit to you. This is you moving me forward. I've watched it happen in so many different places. And right now, I'm in a stage of looking for it. I'm in that place when I think about, in this example of just house changing, I'm looking for God's hand. I'm not going to move until I really am certain, because I don't have a definite confidence that this is the right one to right thing to do. So I'm going to watch for God's hand. I'm going to watch for a mighty storm that floods the chariots. I don't know what it looks like yet. But there is a God's hand does shine, does show itself. And are we going to get credit to that role of God in our life? This is where you're tied to God daily, and you're seeing God work in your life. And look at your past. Maybe back up a few weeks, a few months, a few years, and see, where has God done something for me that I can attribute to God? It's good to say, God, you've routed the enemy here. You've given me a way to know for sure that you're with me. And it builds your faith. And God will do that. God will build your faith if we reach out, we ask him, and we give him that place in our life. You might be in a stronghold. You might feel confident up there on the mountaintop. Down there, you're exposed in empty fields where you're going to be scared, you know. But God says, go. Go down there. Whatever it is that you're facing. Every one of us is facing these kind of choices, I think, every day or every once in a while. These big things come up in our lives. And how do we know? How do we know? The counsel is very important. The following God in uncertainty is very important. But along the way, look carefully for God's hand in your life. It is there. It is there. You can be strengthened in that moment when you see it. You can be strengthened that God's hand is with you. That when you look back and you see that God has led you through a dark time, you can see that what God has done. Let it strengthen your resolve to move forward, to take the next step, to go the full distance that God might be asking you to go. All of us in our own hearts, I ask you just to search your heart for a minute. Where are you with God? Where is God asking you to go? It might be that God is saying, you know what, you need to bring me into your life. You need to ask me into your heart. You need to accept my son, Jesus. You need to accept that salvation. It could be at that level. And there's an empty plane that feels kind of scary, and you think there's chariots that are going to charge you, but God says, go, I'll meet you there. I'll bring you there safely. And it could be anything from, you know, your life stage to your next life stage to who you're going to marry to job. Like I said before, there's all kinds of places. Specifically, if you are wondering about Christ and about Jesus and about his role in your life and if he is even in your life, tie yourself to God's people. Ask the person next to you, what is this Jesus that you have in your heart? It's just an amazing thing. Talk to people. Get counsel from all of those decisions in life. It's so important to recognize that God has given you all sorts of he's given you these things. He's given you these steps to see his hand in your life. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you that you have shown yourself to us, that you've given us an ability to follow you when we're unsure, and I ask that we would. Thank you, God, that it helps us when we tie ourselves to other believers and God's people. Lord, I encourage all of us to be tied in and knit tightly into relationship with you so that we're prepared, Lord, when it comes to offer help and counsel, and pray that we would be wise and ready to seek counsel. And as Barak grew in his character in the chaotic moment, God, we live in a chaotic world. It really is upside down. And we need to be able to follow you when we're uncertain, we're unaware. So I pray that we would have that counsel. We would also see your hand in our life. Whatever that life situation is, God, I pray that each one of us would see your hand in our lives. And I thank you, God, for your hand. Amen.
Amen. Maybe stand.